The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
KNUS Denver,
a Salem Media Group station.
He is an Army veteran.
Duty, honor, country.
And district attorney for Colorado's 18th Judicial District.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Most important, he's a father and a proud American.
Americans love a winner.
He is George Brockler. And this is The George Show on News Talk 710 KNUS.
I'm brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
Everything that guy just says, boo.
Welcome back to 710 KNUS. My name is George Brocker. This is the aptly named George Show. We are in the final hour of week number, God, I think Alexa texted and said 21 weeks we've been on air. I think the over-under was 10, so I think we've overachieved that. We are pleased as punch, as we always are, on Saturday mornings in the 8 o'clock hour to join Phil Harding, my friend, my former colleague in the practice of law, and my attorney. There isn't much more. I mean, short of us being married, there isn't a lot more other relationships we can have. And let's just be clear, we're not married.
That's true. And happy 21. I guess the show can now go out and hang out at a bar.
You know, if you ask Matt behind the glass, we've been doing that now for several weeks. We are also fortunate to be joined in the studio, but we won't trust them with a microphone, your wife and her sisters. Is that true?
Yeah, because you know me, George. I am an in-law lover.
Yeah, that's right. Let's get right to it. Now, one of the things that we've talked about in the past is all the stuff that gets us into court. Is there something that I always want to punish the loser, and just in the terms of justice, what do we have set up in the civil system that discourages frivolous lawsuits or encourages settlements before you get into court?
All right, so there are two different questions there. First of all, if it's found to be a groundless and frivolous case, you, if you brought that groundless and frivolous case, you have to pay the attorney's fees and costs for the other side.
Dang.
But that's rarely done. But let's talk about every other case.
Yeah.
In a civil case, if you lose, you have to pay the other side's costs, not their attorney's fees. And let me tell you what costs are.
Yeah, what is that?
That's filing fees, if you have depositions, if you have experts.
Experts. Expensive.
Very expensive, right.
Yeah.
And besides that, you need to know that here in the U.S., you have to pay the cost, whereas other countries, you have to pay attorney's fees and cost. You may have to pay attorney's fees if there's a contract that says the prevailing party gets attorney's fees, if there's a statute, like a federal statute, but that rarely comes into play. But let's talk about how you adjust that. Let's say someone has sued you, and you think, I owe them something, but not a lot.
Yeah.
And they're asking for $50,000, and you're like, you know what? I think they're only going to get $10,000. You can file with them and send them a statutory offer of settlement. And let's say you send them a statutory offer of settlement and says, I'm going to pay you $10,000. You're claiming 50, but I'm going to pay you 10. And that offer has to remain open for 15 days. If they don't accept it, the court doesn't know about that.
Yeah, yeah.
But let's say you go to trial and the other side only gets $9,000.
Uh-oh.
Because they didn't get over that bar, they now have to pay your costs. So that's how you shift that.
Buddy, that's huge. So they can win and still lose. What I like about the rule is that it's an attempt to try to get cases to settle at a reasonable amount. And so in the number of cases that you have where you represent someone who's been hurt by someone else, let's say any other traffic case, how often are you filing statutory offers of settlement before you go to court and kick their butt?
Well, because I'm the plaintiff, I rarely file a statutory offer of settlement, right? Because if I win, even if I get $1, then I get my attorney's fees and costs.
How often does the insurance company do it against you?
The defense does it at least 90% of the time.
Dang.
Yeah, and it goes under the theory of two kids arguing over a Snickers bar, right? You have one kid cut the Snickers bar and the other one choose, because if they cut it really small, then the kid's going to choose the big part. So really, it promotes people to say, man, what's the max that I think this person's going to get? And then file that statutory offer of settlement.
Now, when that gets filed, that obviously triggers you to have a very tough conversation with your client about, listen, Now we're in a tough spot here where all these extra expert costs, all these extra attorney's fees, all these other things that develop, this is going to be on you if we don't pull this off. And as good as you are in the courtroom, and I've seen it, you are good, you don't know what the heck a jury's going to do.
Yeah, it is a roll of the dice. So there's always a tough conversation there.
I like the loser pays model, frankly, in terms of the costs and stuff like that. I realize that the rest of the world apparently, or at least the Western civilization, does the attorney's fees part. But it just puts pressure on you. I mean, you have really got to do well in the courtroom or it comes out of probably your client's pocket.
At the end of the day, it really does. So just watch out for that. And you can use it. It's a great tool. Great tool to make sure that cases that do need to go to trial, go to trial.
Big takeaway?
You know what? The best thing is where both parties walk away going, I paid too much or I took too little.
That's sweet. Listen, if you want to talk to an attorney that will give you the straight scoop, but also has the chops and the experience to go into court and get justice for you, especially when you're injured, whether it's a traffic accident or something else, I want you to call Phil Harding. He has got a very easy to memorize website. It's hlaw.com, H-L-A-W, unless you're using the French spelling, hlaw.com. Or what phone number would you like them to call, Phil?
Sure. You can call me at 303-762-9500.
What did you just say?
762-9500.
762-9500. And I'm going to say this every time we have Phil on. This isn't somebody who's just saying, hey, I want you to say good things about me because I advertise on your show. Phil is a friend. So is Kim. Phil was also a colleague of mine. I worked for Phil as an attorney. I've seen what he does for clients and in the courtroom. And when I got into trouble, when I got hit on my bike by a car, and it turns out the car always wins. Who knew? I called up Phil, and Phil's done a great job for me. I trust Phil, and you should too. HLAW.com or 762-9500. Phil, we're going to talk to you next week.
Great.
Thanks for being in here. Now, listen, we have right now coming up at 8:10, and I'm looking right at Phil because you guys don't have to leave the studio. Just please don't say anything crazy on the microphone. We are going to have Douglas County commissioners, one after another, to talk to us about the stuff you may have heard about that took place at the end of last week, and that is some decisions by Douglas County to opt out of a mandatory mask order from Tri-County Health, and then to take the follow-on step of we're leaving Tri-County Health. They are breaking up with Tri-County Health. Let's go right to the VIP phone line right now with my county commissioner, Roger Partridge. Roger, how are you?
Very well, George. How are you this morning?
I'm living the dream. Man, thank you for coming on. I should point out, too, this may be your last hurrah in terms of county commissioner because you and I came in at the same time and you and I are both term limited.
Yes, you bet. What are we going to do, George? Are we going to go on the road?
I don't know, man. I mean, you have other marketable skills, right? Like, I mean, you were a practicing chiropractor before. I don't have any marketable. Maybe this is it. Maybe I'll just sit here on Saturday mornings making tens of trillions of dollars talking.
Hey, I like that. You do a great job.
I appreciate that. Now, thank you for coming on. I want to ask you, because we're going to have on Commissioner Layden and Commissioner Thomas after you. But, you know, there were two big things that took place that Douglas County did in many ways in a leadership role and in an unprecedented way in I think, the metro area, if not the state of Colorado. Tell us about it.
You know, we have worked with Tri-County Health very well. As you know, we've received up to 13 different issues of variances. And the reason why is we're doing the best of anybody in the front range. So we have the least restrictions because our residents know it's important, have followed the orders. What we saw happen through the Board of Health, not Tri-County, but the Board of Health that directs Tri-County, was against what we, the commissioners, believe and certainly what our residents believe. So we made that decision, and I'll talk about the decision to start and create our own health department. And as you know, we have 15 different departments, 8 different elected offices, one being yours, that we provide the budget for. So it's nothing new for us.
So now listen, when you say the Board of Health, who makes up the Board of Health that directs Tri-County Health Department?
There are 3 members from each, Adams, Arapahoe, and Douglas County, that are appointed by the commissioners. So it is, you know, there is direction from the commissioners, but they are a separate board to create policy and direction for Tri-County Health Department.
And they serve for 5-year terms?
Correct.
And no real good way to remove them from office during those 5 years?
no, there really has to be some, you know, misconduct that would occur. And I would say this would fall under misconduct, their decision, but it was against the philosophy of what we know Douglas County believes.
Tell us what they did that said that got the commissioners to say, hang on, we're out, we've had enough.
Well, in their meeting before, even Dr. Douglas, the executive director of Tri-County Health, had recommended that, understanding mask are an issue, but he suggested an opt-in, that if a county wanted to have a mask mandate, that they would opt in. That was contrary to what the board voted on 5-4. They voted that it was mandatory mask for all three counties to follow with the option to opt out.
Now, how does that strike you as, I mean, because you guys did vote to opt out, right? I mean, so that part was done. What triggered the decision to then say, hey, we're going to go one step farther? We just don't think this relationship is productive and protective enough for Douglas County.
Well, this is culminating over a number of years, not just this recent challenge with the pandemic. But it's been something we've looked at for literally years, and Dr. Douglas has known that. He's even mentioned it. So, and when I talked to Dr. Douglas, you know, he was disappointed, but he wasn't surprised at the decision. So we really believe, from the standpoint, again, we have 15 other departments that we already run, provide services for. Now is to figure out how will we create that new department. Now, it will take a year, the state mandate. It's a year process to be able to notify Tri-County Health and create our own. So it's not something we have to do right in the minute. And we have that time. And by the way, Tri-County Health, which, again, we have a good relationship, will continue to provide the services.
But this is like a legal separation leading to a divorce. You can't just say, hey, we're divorced, and the next day it happens. It takes a year process to do it. What does it take to stand up your own health department? And one of the things that I've heard in the media is, oh, my God, the extra cost. It would be so expensive. It's so costly. How are they going to do this? And so the reason I ask that is, what does Douglas County commit to Tri-County Health already in terms of dollars?
It's just about $2.5 million that is provided to Tri-County Health directly. So we know that that's an expense. There are also other grants, federal and state grants, and processes to receive other funding. But we certainly look at that. We know that. Our staff is working on a whole plan. But when you think about it, we already provide what we call the ancillary services of, you know, whether it's IT, a physical facility, maintenance operation, HR, finance, legal, admin. So we do that with already the other departments. So we know there's a cost savings to a degree there. But we will follow what is state mandated. And it may be philosophical differences that there's some things that are provided now that we may look at and say that that doesn't follow the philosophy of Douglas County.
Now, one of the other things that listeners may not appreciate is how long this relationship has existed. And that's important because Douglas County, maybe more than any other county, maybe Weld, in the state over the last however many decades, has seen significant growth and changes. How long have we been part of Tri-County Health?
Douglas County joined in 1966. And I'd like, oh, sorry about the chiming clock there.
No worries.
Douglas County joined in 1966, and actually prior to that, in 1958, Jefferson County had left Tri-County because it used to be Jefferson, Adams, and Arapahoe. And when we joined in 1966, it made it Adams, Arapahoe, and Douglas.
And so back in 1966, I think there were four people that lived in Douglas County or something like that. And now we're up over, what, like 370,000?
Yes, I did. I hear you correct me. Up about 370,000 we are at now.
That's a huge change.
Yes. And, you know, most counties in the state have their own health department already. Some are in a conglomerate like we are. But most, and many of them smaller than us, have their own health departments. So it's nothing out of the ordinary.
Now, is this something that outside of the COVID-19 pandemic that you think, look, we probably were going to end up here at some point soon anyway, just because of the changing dynamics of the jurisdiction and the differences between Adams, Arapahoe, and Douglas?
Yes. And through my 8 years that I've served, you know, we've continued to have challenges of certain things that we not necessarily agree with, and we have to get that worked out. between the three counties, how we provide that, how we budget it, how we direct it. And so you're right. It's been a challenge all the way through, but we think, you know, we're large enough and we're different enough that now's the time.
I'll be honest, as you were going down that road, Commissioner, I started to think of Stuart Smalley. We're large enough. We're, you know, we're important enough, and gosh darn it, people like us. You know, it's sort of like the Stuart Smalley thing. Listen, we're going to have on Commissioner Layden and Commissioner Thomas, too. This was a unanimous vote of the county commissioners. Is that true?
Correct.
When you stand up this new public health board, do you have the ability to change the terms under which those board members serve and how they can be removed?
And, George, that's a very good question, and I will have to check with our attorney all the specifics, but we do have the ability to create our own board of health, and that'll probably be one of the first things that we look at doing so that we are no longer under the present board of health.
I think the thing that people don't really appreciate is how the board of health for Tri-County cannot be more permissive than the dictates from the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, CDPHE, which is the state, basically, public health entity. And they get, through a statute that has existed now for decades, they get virtually unchecked and unlimited power to pass things like mandatory mask laws and to pass things like shutting down restaurants and stuff, with near unchecked authority during a period of an emergency once declared by the governor. And I think that has really highlighted the importance of having local control over public health boards, even versus regional models.
Boy, you hit the nail on the head, George.
Well, I appreciate that. I love hearing that. Now, listen, we're going to, by the way, Roger, thank you for making time on Saturday morning to come on and talk with us about this. I'm going to chat with Commissioner Layden and Commissioner Thomas when they're both available on this as well. But this is fantastic stuff, and I don't think people really appreciated some of the things going on in the background. The way that you see this thing reported on, whether it's the TV news stations or in paper, it sounds like it's this quick knee-jerk reaction to "you can't tell us what to do." It is not that. Fair?
Correct. Yes. Very well thought out, very well planned, and we have time to make sure we will provide the best public health department that can be.
Yeah,
and
Commission-
we will also have assistance through with Tri-County through this all.
That's great. Commissioner Roger Partridge, thank you, my man. Keep up the great work as long as they'll let us stay in office.
Thank you, George, and stay healthy, stay well, and thanks for the opportunity.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Thank you so much. That's Commissioner Roger Partridge, and I should have asked him this, but my guess is Roger wears a mask when he is out and about in public as well. I do, but I do it as a matter of choice to put on a mask. I'm convinced by the educational stuff that's put out there. You don't have to agree with me, and I'm not telling you you have to make those decisions, but I do think it's important that we have the option and we support people that want to do it. Listen, I know that it puts people at ease. When I go to King Soopers or Safeway or wherever to shop, I just know that it puts other people at ease, and it doesn't cost me anything to do that. So I'm happy to do it. I also think that it's smart from the standpoint of trying to minimize. I know it's not 100% effective. Trying to minimize the spread of this virus, especially for my own family. I'm out and about a lot more than any other member of our family, maybe my wife. And I just don't want to bring anything back that might hurt the kids, even in the short term at some level. Every parent feels that way, and I'm no different than that. So what we're going to do is we're going to cut away for a quick break here unless we can get Commissioner Abe Layden on. Is Commissioner Layden on right now? He is. Fantastic. Hold on. We'll go to Commissioner Layden right now. We'll break away after a conversation with him, and then we'll be joined by Commissioner Laura Thomas. Let's go right to the VIP phone line. Commissioner Abe Layden, also from my home county of Douglas County. Sir, how are you?
Good morning, D.A. Brocker. How are you, sir?
Yeah, living the dream. Thanks for coming on. We just talked with Roger, Commissioner Partridge, about some of this public health board logistics, like what will it take in terms of timing, how much is already being spent on Tri-County Health Department. Now, look, this was a unanimous vote and to make this decision, and I think the way it's been reported, it's a little breathless and a little bit trying to paint, I think, the commissioners as almost reactionary to this mask order alone. Tell us, what were some of the pieces of information that you guys consider that just haven't gotten the play that they should in the public forum?
Well, thank you for that. And I think the word's getting out, although I understand it's complicated. Look, we joined Tri-County Health in 1966 after the Platte River flood when we were 4,800 people. We are now at 370,000 in Douglas County.
Dang.
So it's just that concept of we're too big to be small. But, you know, I'll be candid with you. We received this mandatory mask order because of a motion by an Adams County public health representative, and we ended up with this top-down mandate. So, you know, being dictated to by other counties just doesn't make sense, especially based on our size. So, you know, a big part of this, George, and I think a key fact, is that Dr. Douglas, the head of Tri-County Health, told our board unequivocally that Douglas County should not be under a mandatory mask order. So,
wow.
You know, the fact that we were still, 100%, and he has not equivocated on that. So the fact that we were still placed under an order based on a motion from Adams County just, you know, it underscores why Tri-County is no longer a good fit.
So the just to be clear, the head of Tri-County Health said, you should not make Douglas County have a mandatory mask order, and somebody who doesn't live or serve anyone in Douglas County made a motion to basically do exactly the opposite.
You're exactly right.
And it passed.
So, you know, a big part of this is just recognizing that, look, we are driven by the data and the science. We're listening to the experts. We've been aggregating the information every day for 4 months during this process. But when our own expert cannot effectuate an outcome consistent with his expertise, I think it really proves that point that we need our own health department.
One of the things that I think it's important for people to know is, and it, the way it gets reported outside of Douglas County in the metro area, it feels like it's this sort of breathless rogue county reacting in a knee-jerk way to this mandatory mask thing, and everybody's running around here just sneezing into each other's mouths. What is the percentage of compliance already with the recommendations for wearing a mask?
You know, that's such a wise question, George. Right now, we already have 75% of our citizens wearing masks on their own volition. So the big distinction, I believe, in Douglas County is that we're saying, look, consistent with public health recommendations, you go out and wear a mask if it's effective in stopping the spread of COVID-19. That's very different than yelling at our citizens and telling them they're going to be fined or criminalized if they don't follow our orders. So it's just a very different philosophy down here.
I think there's one other statistic that you told me about that I don't think people know either, and that is there is a difference between the level of hospitalization and thus utilization of healthcare resources between Douglas, Arapahoe, and Adams. What is that?
You know, that's a really key statistic, and I think it's important that that your listeners hear this and that folks in and around Douglas County hear it as well. In terms of current total active hospitalizations. Now, we've had 181 hospitalized total compared to Arapahoe County that's had 1,061 and Adams County that's had 618. So much fewer hospitalizations overall, but that number doesn't take into account the total current active hospitalizations, and that number as of today is seven.
Seven
individuals are current, seven people.
Not 70, not 700.
Seven people. And, you know, I actually just heard from an ICU nurse the other day on social media saying, thank you for what you've done. We are not in a situation where the hospitals are being overloaded or overwhelmed with COVID-19 patients. What? Just a false narrative.
What do you attribute that to is my last question to you. What do you attribute that to?
Well, I'm going to accept you from this rationale. I think you are fantastic. But, you know, when the media in general is out they're, you know, sharing these case numbers and national case numbers and using scare tactics to generate ratings, and more, you know, advertising dollars. I think it's really creating a sense of irrational fear, in our citizens. And look, like I said, we are going to continue to monitor this data every single day. If we see a spike or a surge, there will be a reaction to that, but we have to make decisions based on today's numbers. And right now, things are much better than it's being depicted.
This is all great news, and it's stuff that I have only heard somewhat talked about, even on this station, by the way, 710 KUS. This is great information to get out there. I hope the mainstream media pushes this out, because this is far less some discussion of a super conservative rogue county going nuts in the face of science than it is actually saying, no, this is what the science is telling us, and it's some person in a county not even that doesn't even touch ours that is trying to dictate what we ought to do down here, and we're just not going to have any more of it. I appreciate you coming on, Commissioner Layden, on your Saturday morning to have this conversation.
Thank you so much, sir. You have a good rest of your day.
You too, and we'll talk with you very soon. That's Commissioner Abe Layden, two of three county commissioners from Douglas County. We're going to have the third on right after this break, Commissioner Laura Thomas. Until that time, you're listening to George Brockler on The George Show on 710 KNUS.
Listen live at radio.com. Now, back to The George Show with George Brockler on News Talk 710 KNUS.
We're back here on The George Show on 710 KNUS. Want to get right to our VIP line with the hat trick of county commissioners. We've had on Roger Partridge, Abe Layden, and now batting cleanup, Laura Thomas, a familiar voice to 710 KNUS listeners. Commissioner Thomas, thanks for joining us.
Good morning, George. It's always good to be on your show.
And you have been making the rounds. I mean, this is obviously something that since the decision was made, and it was a unanimous decision, there has been a ton of focus on this, not just out of our community, but really across the state and the metro area.
There is. I think that people are frustrated. They're tired of government telling them what to do. And they're not seeing these horrendous death rates that we keep being told are happening. People want to go back to their lives. They want government to quit lying to them.
Now, what was impressive to me about what Commissioner Layden just said before we got to the break was that we have seven active hospitalizations for COVID. Now, you and I know we have some of the best hospitals on the planet Earth right here in Douglas County. And the fact that we only have seven cases for a population of 370,000 is remarkable.
That's right. And that's when we talk about government is lying to people. You know, they keep saying cases are going up, cases are going up. We're testing more people. And if people are asymptomatic and they're positive, that means we're going to get to herd immunity. So let us get to herd immunity. Let us live our lives.
What do you think is the reason that Douglas County is seeing such low infection rate numbers, or and maybe hospitalizations is the better question? Why such low hospitalizations versus, say, a Denver or an Aurora or some other county?
Douglas County has been rated the healthiest county in the state and the nation since 2011, either one or two since 2011, on 83 different metrics.
Wow.
Our citizens know how to take care of themselves. They understand the words personal responsibility. They take care of themselves. And I'm going to just add, George, that in January, the commissioners got together with a group of pastors who prayed over us. And we prayed that Douglas County be safe this year, that God protect Douglas County. And I have to think that has a big thing to do with this.
Yeah, I think there's a combination of things, but I also think that we have such a good relationship between government and the populace in Douglas County that when government says, look, masks are a good idea, you should definitely consider using them and encourage them, people do. I think it was Abe or Roger told us, it's like 75% or more already do it just as a matter of voluntary compliance.
That's correct. Dr. Douglas has staff that go out from Tri-County Health. They sit in the parking lot with clipboards, and they count the number of people that go into grocery stores and other retail with a mask on.
Yeah, I do. I mean, look, I do it for a whole host of reasons. Some of it is I think there's probably a benefit to it. I know that there are people that have lung issues that it could actually make things worse for them. But I also know that it puts other people at ease. And when I go to the King Supers or something, it's a small gesture at a minimum, aside from any potential health benefits, to just make people feel at ease while I'm shopping for food with them. And I think that that's how Douglas County views each other. Like, we view each other as neighbors and fellow citizens, and we're going to take good advice and follow. We don't need the government to come in and say, if you don't do it, we're going to criminalize your conduct.
you know, I'm retired state patrol. You're a prosecutor. Can you imagine law enforcement going into a barber shop and writing people tickets because they don't have a mask on and then you get to prosecute it?
No. And I wonder, have you guys had conversations with Sheriff Spurlock as this sort of order was percolating? And by the way, you probably know this too. There's nothing that will prevent wear the damn mask guy, Governor Polis, from coming in and saying, that's it. I'm issuing a statewide order. La-di-da-di. Everybody's got to wear a mask. Have you had any conversation with Sheriff Spurlock about what that would do to their limited resources in terms of enforcing that?
Specifically right now, I have not. But in the past, we have talked with Sheriff Spurlock. And he and all of Douglas County, whether it's zoning, our philosophy is kinder, gentler. Let's get voluntary compliance. We're not heavy-handed government in Douglas County. And I know that when complaints have come in, Tony has had deputies go talk to people, talk to them about getting voluntary compliance. And Tony has told me that there aren't going to be, so far there haven't been any citations written that Tony did not personally approve of. Tony told me that was his policy.
And he has also agreed with me, and I appreciate this, and so has Sheriff Brown from Arapahoe County and Chief Wilson from Aurora Police. Those are my three biggest agencies. That they would let us know if they were going down the road of stroking someone a ticket for a public health order violation as a standalone violation. And I don't think we've had a single one. We've had some that have been attached to other crimes, but never as standalone violations. My concern would be, and you know this as State Patrol, is that you create a new crime or something that can be reported. The phones are going to blow up with people who are going to say, I just saw a group of people without masks. I'm here at this place and I don't see any masks. It's going to overwhelm the dispatch center. And those dispatch calls are going to have to be sent out to state troopers, sheriff's deputies, police. Then what?
Exactly. It's all about choices and how we're going to spend our resources. And I'm hearing that law enforcement officers are resigning and leaving. There's limited staff. And so we've got to make sure we're sending the ones that are coming to work to where they really need to be.
Now, a lot of the big media outlets out there have only reported part of the story, and that is to suggest that this decision to leave Tri-County Health was some knee-jerk reaction to this mandatory mask order. Is that accurate?
Absolutely not. I'll tell you what happened. There is a 9-member Board of Health, 3 from Arapahoe, 3 from Adams, 3 from Douglas, that direct the activities of Tri-County Health. And we've had concerns over this Board of Health in the past. And on the meeting on Wednesday, Dr. Douglas did not recommend that Douglas and Arapahoe get masked up. He recommended Aurora and Adams County get masked up. Julie Mullica, who is married to Kyle Mullica, who did the immunization bill this year, made a motion out of the clear blue to mask up all 3 counties, totally in opposition of what the expert John Douglas recommended.
So to be clear, far from being the mouth-breathing knuckle-draggers that the media suggests and social media suggests is going on in Douglas County, like rejecting the science, we're actually embracing the science.
That's right. This is about the science. There's one doctor on the Board of Health from Arapahoe County, Dr. Faywell, and he voted against masking up all 3 counties. So Dr. Faywell and Dr. Douglas did not support masking up all 3 counties.
Now, this feeds into another thing that has been going on in Douglas County for a while now, and with good reason. As Commissioner Partridge pointed out, we've been part of Tri-County Health since 1966. That's a long time ago. And for people that know their history, that's before we landed on the moon, when there was like 8 people that lived in Douglas County. And now we're up to like 370,000, one of the most dynamic, fastest growing counties in the state of Colorado. And for a time in the country. This is a trend, though, that you have been a prime mover on, and it touches my office directly. And that is, within the last couple years, you have been one of the prime movers on saying, look, we need more local control in Douglas County on a whole lot of issues. What may have made sense when we were a rural jurisdiction doesn't make sense anymore for us. And so you moved and successfully moved the legislature to create a 23rd judicial district, which will be effective in January 2025, that takes Douglas County, Elbert, and Lincoln and creates its own judicial district. First time we've done that since, I think, 1962, out of the 18th judicial district. This seems to me to be very consistent with that trend.
That is correct. You and I sat in a coffee shop on Veterans Day of 2018 and developed this plan, George.
Yeah, that's true.
Because Douglas County has grown up. We're not a toddler anymore. We are going to get our own judicial district. We are now going to have our health department, because the health department, human services, and the judicial district work together sometimes. Is that correct?
Oh, my goodness. All the time. All the time.
So it just makes sense that we are in charge of our own destiny now. It's just part of the evolution of becoming a big county.
One of the things I'd like to see in that same vein is there's got to be a legislative move to do two things for me. One is decriminalize violations of certain public health orders. To decriminalize, make them civil, right? I mean, that's where most of the power rests anyways, with county attorneys, city attorneys, the tri-county health attorneys, to keep that out of our criminal court system. But two, I would like to see that these orders have to be affirmed at some point. Like any order that lasts more than 15 days or 30 has to be affirmed by the county commissioners themselves, because you are the ones that are directly accountable to the voters. There's no way to impact Dr. Douglas, good or bad. There's no way to impact him. There's only a little bit more of a way to impact the actual health board, because the elected officials appointed them, but they have 5-year terms and they can't really be removed easily. I mean, I want to see you guys be on the hook for making more of these decisions. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean that in a positive way.
I agree with everything you just said. So put that in your book. You and I agree on everything right.
Right
now.
It's a nice change, yeah.
But local control is where it is at. And we are accountable to the citizens. I'm up for re-election this year. And trust me, people are blowing me up over this decision, but they don't understand that this is about us being able to control what's going on in our county, not Adams County. Adams County doesn't control us, but that's what they did in this issue.
I think the other thing that those naysayers and the, and by the way, nobody that comes out on social media with the kind of hate that you see out there has actually read a single document other than a headline or something, or they watched a clip on news. But one of the things that they need to appreciate is there may be a time down the road where in a different situation, Douglas County may say, we want all of our citizens to be masked up, and nobody around them does. And Douglas County ought to be free to be able to make decisions like that as well in the future. That's the whole point of local control.
You're correct. I agree with you entirely.
Well, Commissioner, I love this. We could keep going with the agreement stuff. I may end up talking to you about my future budget, because we're in the budget season. I may start throwing some things out there.
Oh, my gosh. I got your email.
Yeah.
I got
okay.
Your email.
Well, not a bad email. Not a bad email. I think it's the right thing to go. We'll talk about that in the future. Commissioner Laura Thomas, the hat trick, the cleanup hitter, thank you for joining us on this important topic. I appreciate it. Enjoy your Saturday.
God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Yeah, take care. Hey, that was Commissioner Thomas. We had heard from Commissioner Abe Layden and Commissioner Roger Partridge right before that. We're going to cut away for a quick break before we get to the last segment of the show. Going to talk about a column that I wrote in the Denver Post that you can access right now. Until that time, my name is George Brockler. This is The George Show. You're listening to a radio station called 710 KNUS.
The George Show with George Brockler on News Talk 710 KNUS.
I'll be honest, not really sure what the heck a Casbah is, but I bet you they're wearing masks there somewhere. Hey, this is the George Brockler Show, or George Show. I am George Brockler. This is our last segment. Here's what I want to do with this. If you had some thing to talk about here, I'm going to take you first, and we'll talk about that. But then I'm going to finish up by talking a little bit about a column that you're going to see in print tomorrow, if you still get the print edition of the Post online right now. Until that time, though, let's grab up Lynn from Longmont. Lynn, you are on the George Show. How are you?
Hey, that was quick. Listen, George, I remember in conversations with your daughter that she's an advocate of TikTok. Now we're finding out a lot more about the security issues with China. I don't know whether you believe that or not, but how much of an in it, how it can affect your whole family with access. So if you think that's just scare tactic, or do you believe that, and how would you handle that with
your daughter? First, aside from the China piece, which it sounds like it's legitimate to me. I mean, if you've got Amazon telling its employees to delete TikTok from their phones, that's kind of a big deal, right? But aside from that, I'd love my daughter to delete all of her social media apps. I mean, whether it's Snapchat or Twitter or whatever. But yeah, I have that concern. And when I see her again, and I don't mean that too lightly, she's in the house every day, but she's asleep when she's in the house. Like right now, she'll be asleep till probably 10 or 11, and then she'll disappear somewhere and come back. It's the 17-year-old thing. And so I'll probably have to leave her a sticky, or maybe I can send her a TikTok saying delete TikTok, something like that.
Okay.
Lynn, thank you for that call. I appreciate that. And thank you so much for listening. Before we wrap up here, I've just got a couple minutes. I want to tell you, I want you to go to the Denver Post. Now, a lot of you will say, Denver Post, I don't know that. Go to the Denver Post, all right? Whether you agree or disagree with their reporting or not, they are the flagship paper of Denver. Yes, I wish we still had the Rocky Mountain News because I think it made the both of them better to have that competition going on. But I used to carry the Denver Post as a young kid. That was my first job, really, was a paper route with the Denver Post and then to the Lakewood Sentinel after that. And I got to tell you, it's a huge honor for me to get to write for them. And I think it says something that they allow conservative voices on there, whether it's a Dick Wadhams or a Krista Kafer or me or Vincent Carroll. I mean, it's not a one-sided op-ed page at all. And so I've got this piece on there. And if you'll remember back at about May 3rd-ish, I think it's May 3rd, I had written this piece saying, look, conditions are ripe for a crime wave in Colorado. And I cited a whole bunch of things, whether it's the lockdown, the economy being driven to its knees, the fact that we're about to head into warmer weather, some other factors too, including the fact that our legislature has done a bunch to retool and, frankly, in my opinion, weaken our criminal justice system on a lot of different levels. And I expected that we would be having a conversation about how that would manifest itself probably at the end of the summer, into the fall. It's happened now. And so this piece at DenverPost.com, you can look it up on there, is called The Crime Wave in Colorado has been building for a while, but now it's at a breaking point. And then the rest of my piece down there goes on to cite statistics that I have access to because it's my office that generates them. Let me give you a couple of examples. There's a Denver Post column out there about Denver, and they're seeing a huge surge in shootings and homicides on record levels. And when I say record levels, I mean highest in a decade, maybe more. We're seeing the same thing in my jurisdiction. Now, I have Arapahoe, Douglas, Elbert, and Lincoln. As you know, Aurora sits in three counties, Adams, Arapahoe, and Douglas. I have 88%-ish of the population of Aurora. And over the first 6 months of 2020, compared to the first 6 months of 2019, we have seen a more than 400% increase in filed murder cases. And filed is important because we've had other murders there. We've had a case where two guys shot and killed each other, but that doesn't turn into a case because, as it turns out, we don't waste resources prosecuting the dead, right? So there have been more deaths by firearms and other means and stabbings and killings going on than are reflected by those filed cases, but a 400% increase. We've seen a huge surge in attempted murder cases just since the George Floyd murder out of Minneapolis. In that period of time, there have been 4 murders and I think 12 attempt murders out of Aurora. 75% of the victims in those cases are black or African American. That's significant because it tells you who is suffering the most from this surge in crime. The motor vehicle theft numbers are ridiculous, and I'll tell you what's interesting about them. You know, most of the jails responded to the governor's call to try to keep as many people out of custody as possible to try to minimize the impact of the coronavirus on these incarcerated populations, but also to create some sort of a buffer in there so that if someone in custody who had to be in custody got sick, they could move them and quarantine them somewhere else. I get it. So what that means is these quote unquote, I'm using air quotes, you can't see them, low level property offenses like motor vehicle theft. These guys weren't going to jail, except in Denver. Denver was still locking up car thieves when they caught them behind the wheel. Everybody else was saying, look, we're going to summons you into court. We're not going to lock you up. And they sent them back out on the street to steal more cars. What we have seen in the second quarter of 2020, based on CMAT numbers, CMAT's the Colorado Auto Theft Task Force. Metro Area Theft Task Force. Good gravy. Their numbers show that across the metro area, there has been a surge of 39% increase in motor vehicle thefts. In 1 month, I think in June, there were over 1,500 cars stolen from Coloradans in the metro area. 1,500. I think it was like 1,570 something. 39% increase in quarter two. But if you break it down by county, what you see is Denver, who continues to lock up car thieves they catch behind the wheel, saw only a 9% increase. 9% if they lock up car thieves. Other counties have seen somewhere between like a 55 and 72% increase in motor vehicle theft, telling you that whatever we're doing is not working. This idea that we can just summons people in and we're going to do away with cash bail and we can just put them out on the streets and trust that we can supervise our way to public safety is utter provable now nonsense. This thing is only going to get worse. And the one factor that I did not consider, the one factor that I could not see coming, was George Floyd and the impact on law enforcement. And what you have seen now is a demoralization and the future defunding of the people that are supposed to stand between us and crime, stand between us and the evil that's out there. And if you're out there saying, oh, George, evil, that's such a 2000 way of thinking. There is evil out there, man. I see it every day. We deal with it on a daily basis in our jurisdiction. That's not to say every criminal is evil. That's to say there is evil out there and it shows up. And you pick up the phone, you don't call 411, you don't call 912, you don't call a social worker, you call law enforcement because you want your family protected and your lives saved. You want crime to be solved and to keep criminals from committing new crimes and holding them accountable for the crimes that they committed. And here we are with this crime wave cresting over the top of us, and we have just gut-punched law enforcement as an industry for the handful of admitted and horrible actors that are out there. We have painted an entire profession in a negative light and said, we don't trust you, we don't like you. And we have kept, I think, good people at the front end from wanting to come in the door and be recruited as officers. And on the back end, as you heard Commissioner Thomas say, we're seeing more and more retirements. That has yet to be measured as a metric, but I'm interested in that. Take a look at that article and retweet it out there. Shoot out. And let's have conversations about it. You can communicate there. You can put comments. You can reach me at George Brockler, traditional spelling, GEORGEBRAUCHLER on Twitter. And you can find me on Facebook, although I'm less active on Facebook, but you can find me out there. Shoot me messages. You can shoot me emails here at the website, 710knus.com, or on the app, and I'll respond to as many as I can possibly get to during the work week. Matt, great job behind the glass. Thank you to all of my guests, Dr. DeConer, Phil Harding, of course, all three of the commissioners from Douglas County, Dr. Scott Siegfried from Cherry Creek Schools, fantastic stuff. We're going to be with you next week. Coming up, Randy Corcoran. Can't wait to hear this, the discussion about Bandamere and what he's done. I think we're going to have to rename Randy Liberty Esquire. I think I want to coin that phrase right now. This is George Brockler on The George Show. You've been listening to 710 KNUS.